Happy Tuesday, everybody. I have two people that'll be on today's Q&A episode. I've got Chase on with me right now because I need to run one of the questions by him to see what he thinks. Hey, Chase.
Hey, I'm nervous to hear what this is.
Well, I mean, you don't have to be nervous, but also Catherine DeFada, who's a therapist that we've had on the podcast before at Three Chords Therapy, will be on to go over some of the emails because I thought I would like her wisdom to answer them. So I just appreciate y'all's emails so much. Remember, you can send them to fourthingswithamybrown@gmail.com and put Q&A or fifth thing in the subject line because that's what we call Tuesday's episode. And we also start Tuesday's episodes off with a quote. And I decided to use one that I saw on Catherine's Instagram. Here's what it said. Sometimes running with perseverance is a sprint, and sometimes it's taking the next step at Three Chords Therapy. Shout out. I thought that one was really good.
Yeah, that's really good.
Because sometimes we may need that reminder. That doesn't mean just because you're persevering that you're taking on this crazy thing. It reminds me also, too, of the whole how do you eat an elephant thing.
Yeah.
You take one bite at a time.
Super similar.
Right. So love that. And then Catherine will be on next, but let me get to the question that I want to go over since I've got Chase on the phone now. Okay, you ready, Chase?
Yeah, I'm super pumped to hear it.
This one's from Brittany. Hey, Amy, this is not exactly a question, more of a proposal. I was wondering if I could come on the podcast and interview you. I was on a run listening to the Four Things Tuesday episode per usual, and I could not just pick one question to ask. I have so many. When did you discover your calling, and was it obvious, or did it become clear with time? When did you really immerse yourself with entrepreneurship, and how did you start, et cetera, et cetera? I know this is nuts, but I figure I have nothing to lose, and if anything, I just want you to know that your Outway podcast series, Four Things with Amy Brown, and being on the Bobby Bone Show has really changed my life. I consider us friends, even though you don't have any idea who I am. And I think I said her name was Brittany, and I need to correct that. It's Brittley. Yeah, Brittley, I think. I think I'm saying that correctly. So, okay, first of all, wow, changed life. Heavy statement there. Also, we are friends. No, we don't know each other. But if you're listening to the podcast, consider you a friend. But Chase, what do you think about making Brittley next Tuesday's Q&A, but she's on asking me the questions?
Okay, two things. One, shout out Brittley for being like forward and just going for it and asking kind of what you were thinking and putting the idea out that you had. And
yeah.
Second off, I think it's an awesome idea.
Okay. And you had no idea that I was going to share this one with you. So I
wanted
your genuine reaction of if you thought it was good. But I mean, I was thinking that you would think it was because I wouldn't put Brittley on blast and you'd be like, oh, that's an awful idea. We're not going to do it.
As someone who's had the privilege to interview you and hear you be interviewed, it's one of my favorite things. I obviously love all the interviews you do, but I think sometimes when things get flipped like this, it's so awesome and special. And I think that's a great idea.
Okay. So I'll let Brittley know. And next Tuesday, we'll flip the script and she'll basically be hosting the Q&A episode and asking me the questions.
So awesome.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's all I needed you for, Chase. I appreciate you.
Okay.
Hope you have a good day.
You too. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Catherine's on the phone now. Hey, Catherine.
Hi.
Thank you for coming back on. I always appreciate when you come on and help me out with things at times.
Of course.
Working through
anytime.
Stuff. So I've got an email here. I'm not going to say her name. I'm just going to say that it's from a hurt stepmom. And that's the title. So I'll read the email and then we can talk about it. Hey, Amy, okay. I'm 47 and never had my own children. My body wouldn't allow me to. Every Mother's Day, my ex-husband, stepsons, and stepson's mom always acknowledged me. Gifts, pampering, and the best gift of all, being acknowledged. That marriage ended after 10 years. I'm still a part of my stepson's lives. We see each other, we text and call. Both of them to this day still reach out to me on Mother's Day and every holiday. I'm remarried and have been with my husband for 10 years. He too had a son when we met. I absolutely adore my, quote, new stepson. He is now 18, graduating from high school and joining the Marines the day after graduation. He also lives with us. Every Mother's Day for the past 9 years, I get no acknowledgement from my husband or my stepson's mom. My stepson did walk by me this year and said, Happy Mother's Day, as he went to the bathroom. That was it. The lack of acknowledgement on Mother's Day has broken my heart. I have only told one person my feelings on this. She thinks I need to bring it up to my husband, but I don't want to be like, hey, celebrate me and sound selfish. Am I wrong in being brokenhearted? She sounds to me like I don't know. We don't know anything about her other than this email. But I know that I had a stepmom for, gosh, over 20 years of my life. And I was not close to her. In fact, to other people, I didn't even say stepmom. I said my dad's wife. And while we all tried to be close and seemed close, like it just wasn't, that I didn't feel that connection with her. I really don't think she would have cared if we acknowledged her on Mother's Day or not. I don't really think we did. I can't even remember, but I legit don't think that we did celebrate her on Mother's Day. But I don't think she's also wasn't the type of person that would send this email and have hurt feelings about it. So I just know that that's the dynamic of my family. Now, she clearly has a different dynamic, at least in her head, of what things should look like. And let's answer her question. And I know that you're going to say probably no feelings are wrong. but is she, she's asking, is it wrong that I'm feeling heartbroken?
Yeah, well, you're right. Because that was the first thing I was going to say is, you're never wrong for feeling something. I think where we get into trouble is what we decide to do with the feeling. Because we can't help the feeling we have. And so what ends up happening is, to me, it sounds like there are like expectations that might be there just based on the first experience she had, where her family just like kind of like pulled her in as like a mom, like the mom she wanted to be. And so those expectations maybe have like fallen into this new family system. And one thing that I know about expectations is they are also resentments waiting to happen, which is where I kind of see her now in the space where she's almost building resentment because nobody's acknowledged her. But I'm not sure if they know that. I guess my question would be, like, do they know that that's important to you and that you would want that?
No, I mean, that's another question that she had. She said she talked to one other person about this, and that person said that she needs to bring it up to her husband, but she doesn't want to come across as selfish.
Right. Yeah, right. Which the other part is, what part of, I would wonder, like, what part of, because when she used, you said, celebrate me, I think we have this, like, feeling that we shouldn't want that, but that's pretty much I think everybody likes to feel celebrated. And I'm sure she is doing stuff for this family. Like her stepson, who she said, what didn't she say? He's like my own. I love him like my own. Did I make that up?
I don't know if you made that up.
I might have made that up. So I'm sure she's doing mom like things. And there's not, like, we can't help it if we, that always feels good. And so I think I would wonder, like, one, what are you asking for? To me, it sounds like she's asking to be acknowledged for the part of the family that she is and just to be loved. And that's okay. Like, it's okay to be celebrated. I just would wonder, does her husband and does her stepson and the stepson's mom have any idea that this is hurting her?
Okay. I want to interject on the stepson's mom thing. I think I 100% agree with you that her first marriage set up the expectation that the other mom should be celebrating her on Mother's Day.
Right.
Because I definitely, although I can't remember if I ever celebrated my dad's wife on Mother's Day, I know my mom didn't. So, But not that that's wrong for her to want that, but that makes more sense to me to be like, hey, we kind of need to set down that expectation. Just maybe tuck that one away, because that just seemed like something really special you had going on with your first marriage. But don't set down the expectation of getting acknowledgement from your stepson and your husband.
Yeah. Well, because I'm sure that there's, who knows the story around the stepson's mom? Like, he knows both of this, but we don't know that, so we don't have all of the information. But yeah, the mom might not be in a place that she's able to do that at all, even if you were to ask for it. And that does sound something really rare. But you do deserve to be celebrated by the people, like your immediate family. And so I would encourage somebody like that to express themselves. I always say it's our job to train people how to treat us. And if we don't train people how to treat us, we just have all these expectations. And it's almost like we want everybody to be a mind reader. But, like, how many mind readers do you actually know? I don't know any. And so that's not fair to us, because then we don't get our needs met. And it's not fair to the people in relationships with, because a lot of times they're just like clueless. And all they need is like a, hey, like, this is what's going on. And most of the time, not every time, but a lot of times, oh, I had no idea. Like, I will be better at that.
And then that way, once you know it's communicated, maybe it won't repeat the pattern next Mother's Day
right.
and the following Mother's Day, that we can just go ahead and put an end to it. Now,
yeah.
I mean, I think if you communicate that to someone, whether it's, and this applies to anybody, if this is not your scenario, we all have at times expectations and all have been let down at some point. So when you're having to communicate to somebody what you're feeling and what you would like, and then it still doesn't happen, well, then it's valid to feel that way. And well, maybe that's not the right way to put it, because your other feelings are also valid, but you have to give the other person a fair shot.
Uh-huh. And if you don't, if it ends up being that the needs are still not met, then there's a whole other process for that. And that would look more of like grieving something that isn't possible. But we don't know, it's not possible yet.
Yeah. We need to have the talk first and then wait for next Mother's Day to roll around.
Yeah. And the other part that I would say too is I think a lot of times we forget like, or what we want gets in the way of what we really want. So for her, what she wants, what sounds like, is to be acknowledged and seen as a mother figure and just like an important part of the family. What is getting in the way is because she wants them to do it without her asking. And so that's what she wants. Like, I just want them to acknowledge me without asking or without having to say something. But that's getting in the way of what you really want. And that is for anybody that is making any kind of decision of looking at, is there something you want more? So I want them to acknowledge me without asking, but is there something you want more? Yeah, I just want to be acknowledged. Okay, well, let's look at that and put that other thing to the side. And a good example to explain that in another scenario, this is how this was explained to me years ago, but some guy was looking at an apartment that he wanted in Chicago, and it was like skyscraper, like the best apartment he could have ever dreamed of. And he asked his like financial advisor, like, hey, can I afford this? Financial advisor says, yeah, you can like totally afford this. But let me ask you before you decide that you're going to do this, like, is there something you want more? And he was like, what do you mean? And he said, was there anything else you want to do with this money? Because you can afford this, but then there's other things you won't be able to have. And so he was like, well, I want to go on trips with my family. And he made a list of things. And so he was like, okay, those are the things you want more. So maybe you don't get the apartment. And I think that's a good example and a good story to look at when we're making a lot of decisions of, okay, what do I want? And then what do I want more than that? Right here, it's, I just want to be seen and acknowledged and loved and celebrated, which is okay.
I hope that helped to this hurt stepmom. And I emailed her to let her know that we were going to be talking about it. So she'll be mm-hmm. listening to this episode to hear what you had to say, Catherine. Yeah, just want you to know feeling that way is not selfish and you do deserve to be celebrated. And I hope that it works out, and keep us posted. The next question I have is from Audra. Hey, Amy, my question relates to wedding planning and making things special during this time of change. My fiance and I are getting married June 13th and have decided that we're going to go ahead and get married no matter what happens. However, it's really been hard to deal with the stress and uncertainty of not knowing what things will look like for our wedding day, as we just don't really know if we're going to be able to have a reception or not, or even more important, if more than just our immediate families will be able to attend our wedding ceremony in our church. Do you have any tips or suggestions on how to have peace with everything, or on how we can make things special even if we weren't able to do things as planned? Maybe having a backyard mini gathering with social distancing, or something where we can still see and celebrate with family and friends if we can't all celebrate together as normal. And Audra, I feel like the last sentence, or however, if you were phrasing that as a question to me, if maybe that's what you should do of this email, sounds perfect. I have a few more thoughts on this, and I know that Catherine does too, but yeah, maybe your reception does have to morph into a backyard social distancing barbecue, but at least you're with the people that you love and you know mm-hmm. they love you, and you're all together and making the best of these crazy times. And then you can circle back and do something later when there's a little more certainty if you want to. But it's such a special time, and I love that you're still moving forward with it no matter what. And you and your soon-to-be new husband are going to be, I don't want to say better for it because I really don't know. But I feel like this is an opportunity where y'all are already facing a little bit of a challenge right out of the gate. And how you handle it could kind of set the stage for how you handle things thrown your way when you're married.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are going, I'm glad you are bringing this question up in particular, because I think so many people are going through this right now and really don't know what like the right decision is. Do I wait a year and get married? Do I go ahead and have a small thing and then have a bigger one later? Or do I just do a small thing and not do anything else? But there, I mean, there's so many questions, and I don't think there's a right answer. I think there is just like the best decision for each person. But I know that I was supposed to be in three weddings in the past. Well, June 6th will be the third one. So in the past 3 months, I was supposed to be in three weddings that all got shifted into something else. And each person decided to do something a little different. And I think one of the most important things for each of them was to remember, like, we're getting married. We're getting married, and that's what's happening. The wedding is a thing, but it's, we forget that, like, the wedding isn't the marriage a lot. And so it takes some of the excitement away, but it's like you're still getting married and like joining your life with somebody, which is always, always, always special. Just think of it as its own thing. It's a new own thing. It is not the wedding you had planned. To kind of get out of the space of thinking like this is a letdown, because it's not. You're still having this huge experience. And so you just get to choose on what you focus on, whether it's the things you can do or the things you can't. And there's a lot of stuff you can still do. I would ask us what's the most important. Like if the backyard mini gathering, it's like, is it most important for you to have and see some of the people in your life? Like, okay, well then let's do something. Think about what you can do around that. Is it being able to like still have things like the first dance or like throwing a bouquet or stuff like, is that important? I know that a lot of people, well, two so far, they've done a Facebook Live, which I think is cool because you can invite, you can make a private and just invite whoever you want to it. And then they can watch it and like comment and stuff. And like, I think they can even video themselves as they watch it. And then you can watch it back and see what everybody kind of has said during the ceremony. So it's like they all kind of get to be there. We did that for my little brother got married last weekend, actually. And I video Facebook Lived it.
Oh.
Yeah. I had the camera sideways for like the beginning of it. So I didn't know that you can't, like, you have to have the camera upright. So half of the ceremony was sideways, but we still did it. But yeah, like, think about what you want to do. So one of my friends, we did, and like, there's like six of us afterwards. None of her family could come. And so they did the Facebook Live, and then none of us went to the ceremony except, I think, two people. And then we did like a backyard celebration where we surprised her with a cake and champagne, and we had her throw her bouquet still, and we sent them off with sparklers in the middle of our driveway at like, I think it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but we still like sent them off and had a random guy was walking past the house and came and videotaped it for her. So she had this like send off video. So there's tons of things you can do. You just have to be super creative.
I think you just have to, like you were saying when you first started talking about it, Catherine, just separate the marriage from the wedding and focus on what is it that you really want and go ahead and do that. If that's what you want at the moment, it's fine. And then you can do the wedding stuff later. Sure, it's not how things have always been, or not, you know, what probably happened for your sister or your best friend or who got to have the normal wedding that they'd been dreaming of. But nothing has been normal about this year.
Right.
And who knows what the new normal will be, but we will be able to all gather again together one day and celebrate. So yeah, if you want to go ahead and do the thing, keep the date, make the marriage the real deal, get the certificate, then do it. And then you can always celebrate however you want to, maybe on your year anniversary. I feel like there's going to be a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Or maybe, who knows what you would have spent on a wedding, and maybe go spend it on something else. But I mean, a lot of people I know have put deposits down for everything, and it's really hard to get it back. So that's not lost on me one bit. So that may not actually be feasible. But anyway, just know that you're not alone. And whatever you decide to do is going to be awesome. And y'all will look back on it and be like, whoa, remember that crazy time we got married during coronavirus?
And like, I would ask, since this is happening kind of pretty often, I would ask people that you know that have done it, like, hey, what did you like and what didn't you like? Did you have any ideas or are there things that you wish you would have done? And get some feedback from people. And then again, it's your wedding. So it's like, that's always what kind of like is said, is like, you get to decide it's your wedding. It's still your wedding and your marriage. So you get to decide, do you want to have a backyard barbecue? Do you want to have a parade and all the people that could have come to your wedding just drive by your house and wait? Like, what do you want to do? Like, you get to decide. You're the bride, and that's kind of how it gets to be for that day.
Yeah. Well, Catherine, I'll keep you on for this third question, although it doesn't really need much wisdom from like a therapist perspective, but you may have thoughts. This one's from Susanna. Hey, Amy, I live in Florida and I'm in the sun constantly. Can you let me know about a good sunscreen that I can wear out on the boat for under my makeup that's not really oily? I'm obsessed with the Neutrogena for the rest of my body, but it's way too oily on my face and it makes me break out almost every time. So, Susanna, what I use on my face, which I love, is IntelliShade. And it's by Revision. It's in a black tube. I have it on my Amazon page. You can go to radioamy.com and click on Amazon and then under beauty. And it's tinted. So I wear it as my makeup and sunscreen. It's like SPF 45. And then I just put a little powder on top to take away the shine. There's original and matte. I only have the original on Amazon because I don't know. I couldn't find the matte to add on there for you. But what I do is I bought the original and the matte and I mix like a squirt of each, because to me the matte is too matte and then the original's fine, but it is a little shiny at times. But again, like I said, you can just put a little powder on top. It does not break me out. And then again, since it's tinted, it is my makeup. I just wear that and then the powder and good to go. And a lot of my friends use this. It's a little bit on the pricey side, but it does last a long time. It takes me a long time to go through a tube, especially since I use two tubes, the matte and the original. It really takes me forever and you don't need much. Yeah, I love using a beauty blender too, to like a damp one. Do you use a beauty blender, Catherine?
No, I have. I probably should update all of my makeup brushes. I have this like really cool makeup brush that I got from Beauty Counter. I've had it for like 3 years.
What does it do?
Well, I mean, it's just like because a beauty blender is that not just like to blend in your foundation and stuff, right?
Yeah. So you get it, you run it under hot water, get it wet, and then squeeze it out, and then it blends. Like to me, if I put the IntelliShade on with my fingers, I can see a major difference. If I were to blend it in with Beauty Blender, it just blends in so much better.
Oh, yeah. Mine's just like a buffer, like foundation brush. So I should probably jump on the Beauty Blender train, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm late to things, and I was way late to the Beauty Blender. So you're like really late.
Like really, really late.
Yeah. I'm going to need to send you one. But that's what I recommend for you, Susanna, if you're out in the sun. And yeah, put that sunscreen on. Catherine, what skin type is yours? Fair or olive?
Well, like complexion?
Yeah.
Like olive-y.
Oh, wow. Okay, you're lucky. Like, I'm fair. I have to wear sunscreen all the time or I burn.
But I need to wear sunscreen. I actually, that just was making me think, because I was working in my yard today and I put on Neutrogena and now I'm like, oh, shoot, am I going to break out?
No. That's one thing that I know for sure is every single person's skin reacts differently to every product. So I even get notes from people sometime, I want to know your exact skin routine. And I'm like, well, shoot, I'm happy to post it. But it took me a while to even figure out exactly. My girl Carrie, the Nashville beauty girl that helps me with it, like she had to do several different things to get me to wear like the original skin routine she gave me. It broke me out really bad. And it's what she uses on a lot of people and they love it, but it wasn't right for me. So I always get nervous like telling people, because I'm like, well, shoot, I don't know for sure if this is good for you every day. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for coming on. We always like having you here. And I just want to encourage people to check out your podcast. It's called You Need Therapy. And I listened to an episode the other day on attachment disorder. I thought it was really good. Isn't that what you call it?
Well, it was just on the theory. But yeah, okay. I mean, you can learn about that from that. But
on the theory. The theory of attachment, yes. Okay, I guess I just told my husband after I listened to it. I'm like, I have attachment disorder. So is that what it's called?
No, it's attachment. So attachment theory is like the theory that kind of like I work from. But there is something called attachment disorder, which comes from that theory. So that's why it's confusing.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. I have attachment issues. We'll say that. And the podcast was great, but I think you have some great stuff up there. So I encourage people to check it out. The podcast again is You Need Therapy, and then on Instagram at Three Chords Therapy.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. And we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, bye.